day, folks. This is Hal Anthony coming to you from behind the woodshed, where we intend to open a can of whoop-ass on those misguiding government, mistreating our people, and to stop the subversion of freedom. Out here behind the woodshed, we are not bashful to lay on the wealths of truth that they will teach the lessons to stop government trespass against us, because sparing this rod will most certainly get us the shaft.
Interrupting the current Corona cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is a BTW RLM 363. For any of you 369 folks, this must be a special broadcast. Hopefully not really any more special than the rest, which has been pretty good, I think, coming into this year. And we're starting to see people, I think, acknowledge that on their own now. 4 months later, folks. Since when I started to tell you they're going to do the trauma-based nonsense to reinvigorate 9/11 and to continue the constraints that they'd built in the plan that was set before us long time back. And I, again, hindsight's 2020, I was hoping. I hope maybe people, if you don't need hindsight now if you hadn't seen it, I hope. Even that's a question. What's going on and the relevance of what I've been suggesting is available for us, even in still, and in particular in this very the worst case scenario, where they went to, well, threatening you privately, and then they also imposed medical police powers. And I said that that's the worst thing we could be facing, but I've been looking at this for a while, and I think I've got an idea on how we would undermine it, and it's no different than any other proposed authority. You just have to show it doesn't, it's actually a color of law, color of authority that doesn't have any real substance. That becomes those felonies that I was telling you before. Under everybody's, every state you live in has these extortions and coercions. If someone without warrant comes to steal away your stuff or your rights, coercion, stuff is, the stuff they steal is the extortion. The rights they steal relevant or pertinent to those properties are coercion. Together, they do a conversion. And these are all crimes. And I just, again, the crickets, I don't understand it. And so, I mean, I got a whole lot of things that came to mind this week. I don't know, I'm starting to attack. I seem to be attacking the Twitter feed and talking to it about how many people will just structure their discussion around avoidance of doing anything. They don't take, it's like they're information collectors. And I don't know what to do about that. The information collectors, information collecting is not going to help anybody after a certain amount of information. Once you know the story, it gives you enough information. You don't need to continue to engage it, actually. You need to turn your focus on what that information is. Excuse me, I have a connection problem going on, and so I'm going to have to deal with this. I just noticed it. Okay, I should be coming back up. We had a bitrate problem that Junior just informed me of. We're moving it. For those of you that are on the podcast or can't find the feed, and now you couldn't find the feed for silence, we've had a problem with the Shoutcast server. The host, the server company, hasn't gotten back in touch with with Grimner, and so he's had to jump over to another broadcast link. And in hooking up to that, apparently I had to do a bitrate that I wasn't told about. We got that fixed. It looks like it's still holding, and you'll get this in a minute. And I am looking like I'm more delayed than normal. But at any rate, I think I should be going up. So I don't remember. Now let's see, let me go back to where I was thinking I was here relative to what I've been talking about all this time. 4 months now, people are coming. 4 months now, people are coming to the idea, and I got some clips to show you that people see it, but it's too late. Not too, well, it's too late in the fact of the awareness when you could have seen all this stuff coming. Now, I told you the 9/11 thing was going to be reintegrated as a trauma and all that. So Okay, I'm seeing it must be going back out now, and it is holding up the encoder just to keep track of that. So we had some silence, and so just appreciate your tolerance for this with this changeover today. I think we'll be okay now. The so this thing was able to see it. I've suggested for lots and lots of years how we would have to deal with something like a martial law. That, and it's being denied as a martial law, and I'm going to touch all this. I hope I can get through all this today. The last few weeks have actually been a ton of information. I'm only able to touch the surface. Yet, if you go to the core information that I've shown you, this is going to become how you're going to use. If you decide not to be crickets, literally, at some point you're going to have to see this is not something that you can tolerate. They're coming in the government itself to steal your land and to steal your property and everything else. And no one is really saying anything. Even though those of you that don't agree with it or don't think it's real, other than maybe it is a flu, bad flu season, which it is, and that could answer this whole thing. And this is the other problem. If you go to the president, he could actually out this whole scam. He could out the whole bogus nature of this. And that gives me my reminder of what I was looking through this week, arguing with my Twitter feed about everybody collecting this information up. And once you get enough information, I'll repeat this in case it didn't come out, that you don't need any more information. Once you see that there's enough information to disprove something or prove an alternative that you can use for you, that's what you just bundle that up, and that's what I call the bag of law or the bag of facts or whatever you want to put together. And you find the most powerful, succinct, authoritative statements that you can. Last week I went to the CDC. They're the proprietor of all this nonsense. That's who you go. They're admitting and confessing certain things. And you can pull that together and you can put that one serology test page, which is no serology. It proves there's no test. So let me go through a couple things that came to mind when we were talking about how bogus this is. And I don't know which one of these I may use for the title of the broadcast, but this is a deadly coronaviral bogus. Right? A coronavirus bogus. There's nothing real about this thing. It's the common cold, and there's no test, folks. That's the ultimate answer here today. That may be the title when I get there. Where everyone's operating out of the fog of fear, and I'll tell you, I have a link for you about a doctor who's actually explaining what you need to do, who's actually in New York, who's having to deal with it. And although I'll get to that in a few minutes, you can tell inside the system they believe this is real. And when he comes to the realization that it's not as bad as everybody thought, and you can do something about it privately. He's emotional about that. This was the trauma, and it is the trauma. And I told you they were going to try and push on people, and it's up to you to be tough enough to realize that, and to identify, as I said, be careful of the haystack of disinformation and information. You're going to have to find the actual needle. What's the real thing that can stick you good? And you want to avoid that. You don't want to get overwhelmed by the amount of hay that's being thrown around. So we have what we're dealing with, I'm noticing, and again, I'll get to the objective facts that I can find that I found last week. You really should listen to last week's, find the section where I'm reading from the serology test, because that's the Rosetta Stone. That will now build into something I'm going to talk about today. But we have common cold criminals that are working against you today. They're taking a coronavirus that was known, in at least in the books back when I was young, in 1989 in the books as well. Coronavirus was a common cold. Remember, there's lots of viruses, and this is the other thing. You have, influenza, you have rhinovirus, you have all these kinds of viruses. There's gobs and gobs of beasties out there to take you down, and you have an immune system that sits there to protect you at some level. But you have to go through the battle first so the body gets trained on doing the future battle. And you gain some sense of immunity there to those things that have mutated, and then partially to those that have. But so we're suffering common cold crimes, and you got to understand this. You have to really put this in context. We're dealing with a common cold relative to what they can promote. But remember, we were told back in December, as I reported the report on December the 3rd, we're dealing in a severe flu season, the worst in a decade or so. Worse than last year. I didn't even know we were in one last year. How did they take just a slight jump and turn it into a global prison? I mean, here. And everybody's agreeing it somehow. It's really astonishing. And so, global It was just the common cold incompetence. We're in an incompetence in the system. The system can't be honest enough to say we're actually dealing in the common cold. What's the problem? And when I get to this link that I'll give you, I almost cut this video off. It was two systems speak until about 5 minutes in. Then he started to explain the foundation for what he was saying, and then it started to come into better. They're still learning about this, and this is just the common cold or flu, but there's a mutation here that can affect you seriously. Across the board, apparently, except little ones. Fascinating how this works. And there, the system is actually dealing, when you listen to last week's serology test statement from the CDC, they're telling you we don't need no stinking test. And you're agreeable to it. And you're agreeable to it because you're quiet and you haven't addressed this, even while you have all this time. And maybe the first week, maybe not. Maybe you had some things you needed to do and this and that. But we're coming into a time when you're going to have lots of time on your hands, still twiddling your thumbs, when you could at least communicate by letter or email or anything to start an engagement with these people that are locking you down if you are fearful that you're going to get in trouble by engaging. And I don't ask you to do anything that's not within your talent, your skill set, or understanding set. An email is an easy thing to send. You send that serology test and you analyze it the way I've told you last week, and I'm going to clarify some things today. You will have the basis to form the alternative to the alternative that they've provided. And you will learn what I've been saying. You learn how to educate them that they're literally having no basis. There is no test, folks. You've been duped again, naturally. We're dupable people. A broadcast I did years ago called Dupable, or whatever, had dupable in it. There is no test. Do you get that, folks? Did you get that last week? There is no, I can't say this enough, there is no test. Now, I want you to translate it to those that have you under lock and key, voluntarily, no less, because they've given you a secret point as well, and it comes out again to this week. There is no test. What are they basing anything substantial on if there is no test? Pause. I know I can't get an answer here from y'all, but if there is no test, what are they basing a police power on? What are they basing their authority to steal your stuff? And they use the word commandeer. We're going to show you how inside the language, the denial, that turns into exactly telling you, again, you know them by the words. You know them from what they do, folks. They say, well, it's not martial law. Well, then why do you keep using military martial words? We'll get to that here in a second. So those are the concepts that kept coming to me. Why don't people come up with this? There's enough evidence already to prove all this. The CDC confesses there's no test. They're still working on it. COVID isn't a virus. The virus they're looking at can't be tested except for it being in a class of viruses that cause infection. The language is critical. I've been telling you this for years through the mining law, showing you how to make a difference where you stand different than the government, and it can't beat you up because of the obligations. Here, now we're dealing in police power. You have to undermine the authority they use, and you look for the anomalies. And that's how you destroy what they're trying to do. If you don't, they win. They win. They're going to probably win anyway because you're just not stepping up. Even if you don't want to get out in the face and get, I don't want to go stand in front of a stupid cop that believes he's doing helping the community. No, you got to set the record up before you get there. But you got to at least start typing out a dang letter. And you can do it real summarily. You can do links, especially email. You send links. And you could do a simple dialogue. You summarily take what I say over a half an hour, reduce it down to some bullet points and say, you who have signed an order against my needful moving around. In other words, you challenge me to have to make up what's essential for me. And you purport to have a power to say what's non-essential. How are you basing that authority where the CDC admits there is no test for what you believe is going on? In fact, what we're looking at is a vast and deadly coronavirus bogus reliance. The common cold has taken down the world? Are you kidding me? Is it so hard to prove that? No, two proofs. Now, you go to the one who you believe you're afraid of, the cops, the troopers, the marshals, whoever they are, the local community, the local councils, the local commissioners, the governor, and you say, where is this test that you, not even the CDC believes this thing. Now, how did I do that? I just went to the CDC and I made sure I looked at the words and they have a definite meaning. But I told you, so they're basing it on your ignorance, your lack of ability to respond, your lack of ability to really think under the fog of fear, essentially, your agreement at some level with the authoritas, which has an agenda behind it also that you can see why it went global so consistently. These are all clues. Something was terribly wrong. And yet we didn't have a backbone in the country that you can find the laws that said they didn't have the right to do this, and we're crickets in our own country. They're supposed to be free within the constraint that we don't harm anybody with the police powers even, but they have to do a demonstrable exigence, which they can't prove. Why? Because there is no test. It's not my opinion. And getting on, coronavirus, a new 9/11, the propaganda and terror of fear and lesson from recent history. I said this 4 months ago, folks. People are just now coming forward, but guess what the change is here? And I'll send you this link through a Cryptogon, which he highlights a part of an article from Off Guardian, and he highlights the part that is it's down in through the document. It says coronavirus, a new 9/11. They write it as a question, folks. I wrote it as a fact. I wrote the fact that they would bring propaganda of terror and fear in the beginning of the year and said, I didn't know what it was going to be, but they were going to institute it this year. Hindsight was 2020. They have an agenda they're going to meet on one level, one agenda by 2030. What climate change hasn't done for a decade and what they couldn't get child abuse Greta to do in the last year, this thing has done within 3 months. It's astonishing. It's the identical outcome, and we've all been quiet to it. And in some regard, there was no excuse because someone like myself, there's others that talked about it, whether or not they actually gave you how to fight it, I don't know, but they were telling you that this was happening, and some of us stopped gaining the evidence of it and said, okay, I'm going to have to take this evidence and go figure out what I'm going to do with it, and we did that. We figured out how we have to start using it, and we have been. And so I come on to you at the beginning of the year, said, here, folks, they're going to tie this thing up a bit tighter. Are you going to be ready for it? You've gotten the tools. Now, are you going to do it? Here it comes, 4 years later. They ask the question, coronavirus, a new 9/11. How timid, when the fact is just present. It's self-evident now. Travel papers and the Pandemic Patriot Act 2.0. Exactly what I told you they would try to institute. They would institute a secondary, a supplement to the Patriot, the PATRIOT Act. They move you from an enemy combatants presumed into executive expedients in 2010 when I went to crickets in 2012 when it was proved by publication of the murder memo till now. They got you locked in your houses. And I told you a long time ago, I figured this, it finally came to me clearly in 2005 when I realized sitting in a jail cell on a lie. Again, the lie, they'd get you there. And then I found out, remember, I was doing my child abuse, child services, child abuse documentary, which disappeared when I got out of jail that time. I realized in different degrees, we're all in a prison. It just depends on how much the people with the power to put you into a lockdown are agreeing with your behavior with them. So my view is, it may sound kind of odd, but my view is we've been in a prison. I live with the idea that I don't live any more in a prison here than I would somewhere else that I'm placed, whatever their excuse is. And that's what it allowed me to confine. I said, well, if I'm sitting in a prison, even if I'm sitting in my house, they get the slave to feed himself and pay for the privilege, the benefit, and to be subject to this nonsense. Maybe I have to, that's nothing for me. I can focus on what I really need to do. Okay, so it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to really visualize it and see it And then that's the time you get to, you stop making the excuses, at least what happened to me. And so in some regard, I can tell you this is coming because it's already written. The papers were set up, the situation was set up, it's executed over a long time sometimes. Remember, I don't know of anybody else that was coming out to tell you that the Civil War wasn't over, you lived under martial law, because Francis Lieber made the law that went international. And I told you, because I saw that, I was able then to focus in on what they were talking about, actually saying in Title 50, and actually saying about the economic servitude that you're under, and actually see then that your civil rights were what? Title 42, Section 1981. Extortion. Of every kind and no other. Nobody else was saying that when I came on board to start broadcasting. Nobody had this lineage. Now I'm happy to tell you, lots of people have it. I was writing about this back in just before 2000. So to me, it's like the continuum. And I can see where you can take, and because of that, I've been looking very particularly on how do you resolve this? How do you resolve this problem? I call it the spaghetti western. The things that look apparent that are not. The false fronts. How do we address that? And the first thing you need to do, essentially, is to call it out. Call out the false front. And how do you do that? The best way to do it when you get into the law, when you get into what is expected by all people to be justice, is you have to have your evidence. And the perpetrator, the confession of the perpetrator is the best thing to do, to grab. And so that's where I started to focus. Now, what they've been able to do where Greta couldn't do any of this, where it's all been in the system, that's why they're able to execute it pretty quickly, where all this stuff couldn't be done by climate change, the very same things are coming down to impress us with what they need in one aspect, which is we understand to be sustainable development. It's this global order of bureaucrats, the technocracy, the tools, all that comes together. I've told you the Bitcoin was a setup, the cryptocurrencies were the setup to give it out to the slaves, the future, or the trustees of this prison, and that you would work out the problems for the warden. And I said, be careful. The Bitcoin is a setup. When the governments get theirs, and no one was saying this at the time, when the government gets theirs, they're going to likely outlaw yours. And so we haven't heard anything, and this is a surprise to me. We hadn't heard any discussion. In fact, the United States government was fighting tooth and nail about cryptocurrencies through the SEC, and the people with the cryptocurrency didn't understand how to stop the SEC because they don't listen behind the woodshed on how you stop these guys, these agencies that they really don't have the power and haven't had it addressed to them. They just accept the terminology is applicable. And so here, underneath all this, came this supposed coronavirus common cold. Just change this word out, folks. Common cold. Common cold. Coronavirus is common cold stimulus package through Congress. And what they had in there, and that initially came out, and I viewed it as planting the seed of awareness that it's there, even though no one's talking about it, the government's fighting against it, was this idea of a new digital dollar. Now, quickly, once that was thrown out, it was subsequently pulled back from that bill. I looked at that as, if you will, the seed plant. It's there, folks. It's just waiting to be brought forward. They pulled it back, and then they brought in another $1 trillion of stimulus. Didn't I tell you in 2008 there was no limit? This new trauma comes down, and all of a sudden it wasn't even an argument. Just give $2 trillion out there. Money beyond mine. You can't even figure that out. You can't even count $2 trillion in your lifetime, but that's okay. It exists somehow. And I say that because of the condition of the digits. And 2008, under the trauma, another style trauma of fiscal attack, they were able to give toxic debt, which it's all debt, in another way, another statement here, but toxic debt value. That really, really uncovered the whole scheme, if anybody would have seen it. There's no limit now. You see how valueless the full faith and credit of the United States is. And so we're dealing in fraud that relies on the color of that to advance a complete economic control, essentially of the globe when you understand the things like the World Bank, the Fed, and the World Bank, and then the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, and how this all works out. But we've been told now that the United States is ready to drop on a digital dollar. That is the final connection to your life, for those of you that have heard the cashless society, and you're going to have to be part of the system in order to buy or sell. That's, you're looking at it. It sits right there. They're doing this all underneath this trauma that no one's called out to be the fraud of the common cold, the crime, the opportunists that are taking the common cold and doing something with it. And there's not even a test, folks. And no one is saying, well, not no one. I'm saying it. I've been saying it. Other people are saying it. So we have our digital dollar sitting there. They're ready to spring that at any time. They need to pull this off by 2030. And I'm telling you what, folks, they may get it by 2025. Why? Because you're not stepping up and throwing down on where they're wrong and where they've got it wrong and how it fulfills a foreign objective, violating your necessities under the color of protecting you as a necessity. You haven't really articulated that. Complaining in the chat rooms to me amongst each other is not going to pull this off. They're going to get their stuff. There's no reason for it. There's no test, folks. There's no reason for it. But they're going to get it because they have everybody's mind controlled, even to the point of not acting correctly. Not more properly. Correctly is to stop it, folks. And I told you, they were a long time back, your Second Amendment's not going to stop this invasion. And so moving on into this idea, something came forward that kind of interested me, just as a conceptual thing, if nothing else. Last night, Julian Assange called me. Here's what we talked about, was written a couple weeks ago. And it's a discussion of someone that Julian Assange from his prison, talked about. They brought up the coronavirus. They brought up all this stupidity and insanity behind how the governments are responding. And I look at it as a plan, so it's not that insane. What's insane is nobody's responding to it, right? It's not that insane. It's a plan, right? They're executing right now. They talk about all this, but as I'm reading this story, and you'll get the link, you can be interested or not, I don't know. It just interests me how the things in the news reflect what's going on. And I put a Twitter out. In fact, I've got the link here. I responded to the story without going through and reading it. In a way, it's important, but it's not important to read on the broadcast. It's just a conceptual thing. I said, is it clearer yet by degree of compliant behavior that we are all Julian Assange? Act now or forever hold your peace, P-A-C-E. The very thing the government's supposed to keep, they're not. Shows you you've been invaded. Act now or forever hold your peace. And again, the twist on the peace, P-I-C-E, or as a marriage. And that would be at least a good, I guess, identity if that was equal. But it's not. So act now or forever hold your peace. In this new entanglement that they're building, the open-air prison just got a lot less open. Now I'm responding to us. Do you see how Julian Assange and the things they have on him? They have him in quarantine. They won't release him. In fact, he did a petition. They won't release him. Do you think that because the reason was coronavirus and the courts didn't release him? Do you think that maybe that's showing the courts know inside the system coronavirus is the common cold? Notwithstanding that they'll send all the prisoners out? Get you for breaking so-called quarantine, but they let the prisoners out. They'll try and put you there. They found out they had a problem with that either. Well, we'll put you there later. All right? This is not helping you. This is to keep you in prison. This is to model get your behavior correct. They can control Julian Assange. What they talked about reflected to me in the fact of, can you see now that you're no different than Julian Assange? If you're using your eyes to look around your space, you're not looking with the proper eyes. I'll just tell you that much. Okay, so what are you going to do about it? I've told you, in that same time when I was put in jail, I also realized something I didn't know, and this shows you what ignorance will do. I didn't know there was a communication system inside jail. See, I've never been there before at the time. But there's a communication path. And when I found that out, that was the worst thing there for them, because all of a sudden now I could start funneling communications, and I knew enough, even without any research material, without any actual statutes, I knew the principles at least, that I could start causing pressure on them to show that they weren't not doing what they were supposed to, but that just made me Julian Assange then, didn't it? They weren't listening. They don't care. They're telegraphing there's only a common cold. That's why they don't have to release him, despite the fact that more prisoners are starting to get coronavirus, so-called. Oh, excuse me, COVID. It's another thing. I even made my own mistake. They call it COVID-19. It's nothing, folks. COVID-19, there is no testing, can be no test. Moving on here, though. Again, Julian Assange. Do you see now in Julian Assange that you're Julian Assange? If you don't, you're not looking with the correct eyes, and I don't know. At some point, you look at the condition of Julian Assange, you're seeing your future. There is no answer. But, see, you're still not quite Julian Assange. And that's the point. They're getting it close. They're telegraphing they think they can do that. And they're going to beat down on people initially to try and get that done. No different than North Korea. The first guy that tried to go to the public baths after quarantine was called, they shot that guy. That pretty well kept all the herd in the pens there, didn't it? And so, you're the same thing. You're the same thing. Now, I look up quickly, I see, I disagree. Moose Girl, you're talking common cold. No, it's the common cold. Coronavirus is the common cold. What we are dealing with is a whole lot of viruses, one of which is causing severe pneumonia symptoms. Again, there's no test. We can't even say what it is. I guess this is the point. Nobody can say what this is. All they can do, I told you, and I got the test here. I'll get it to you here this week. The test from the FDA on the test explains exactly what they can find and what they can't. And we'll keep going. I'll get to it. We can't tell. The common cold is a coronavirus. If they're going to blame this on a coronavirus, it's the common cold. There's flu, too. There's influenza. It's the flu. It's a flu influenza virus. Okay, so we really have nobody can actually say what is causing this. And I'll tell you, I'll be looking around. I'm finding now reports, finally, they're starting to hit where I live. Reports of being sick. And there's one thing I want to know. As soon as I find out someone has the coronavirus that everybody thinks it is, I want to know one thing. Because there's a chart. If you read the chart, you can figure out, and another doctor confirmed this. This video I'll give to you down the road here. You can't hear it. You'll have to get it in the broadcaster. He confirmed this very one point. People who go down with the flu, there's one thing that they don't have, if it's just the flu. And they're going down hard this year, and we were told that back in December. The government knows this was a bad flu year, worst in decades. Okay, so this is how important it is going to the UK with Julian Assange, which again, Julian Assange is you, every one of you listening. You don't know that, maybe. You might partially agree with it, or you might totally agree with it. I told you why he wasn't released was likely because they know it's the common cold. It's a flu virus. He's actually protected if they can keep him away from the outside world. And they wash his hands and doesn't let him touch his face and don't have any close, long contact. We're finding out that family member contact is the longest contact you'll have, is the highest average infection potential. Anyway, going on. I got another link for that. A high consequence infectious disease. On March 19th, 2020, March 9th, 10 days, folks, did you hear this? Nice. COVID-19 is no longer considered to be high-consequence infectious disease, an HCID. The Four Nations Public Health HCID group made an interim recommendation in January 2020 to classify COVID-19 as an HCID. This was based on consideration of the UK HCID criteria, which I don't know if you know, it changes. In fact, they went from gobs and gobs of dead to now they're down to 5,000 estimated, what the Imperial College is doing this stuff. So just like the climate change, the climate change university they used to pump their hockey stick. But at any rate, down comes the estimates as they keep working this out and see that the lie's not going to fly. Now that more is known about the COVID-19, the public health bodies in the UK have reviewed the most of up-to-date information about COVID against the UK HCID criteria. They have determined that several features several features have now changed. They never change, folks. Right? This is the propaganda machine having to figure out how they're going to adjust relative to reality, the one that they told you was not true. They have determined that several features now are changed. In particular, more information is available about mortality rates, low overall, and there is now greater clinical awareness and specific and sensitive laboratory tests, the availability of which continue to increase. What increases is these tests doing positives, so that the positives are what is driving this. Their mortality rate has to go down because they're not testing for a virus. They can't test for the symptoms. If you don't follow the get on the specifics of these terms, you're going to miss the trick. COVID-19 is nothing. It's symptoms. They're subjectively determined when you analyze someone in a clinic. They are the symptoms of flu. Then they supposedly do this test, and it says that you're positive. The trick is right here, I told you last week, but it's confirmed in the FDA document. The test is for what? And as I say that, David Icke has come out in the last 2 weeks with some very important information that everyone needs to track down. I don't remember the two titles of the videos. For as much as David Icke knows, and I don't want to dismiss him at all, he is making the same mashed-up mistake in not keeping the verbology straight. And he says this test tests for DNA, and it doesn't. It tests for RNA. It tests for RNA of any biology that has infected your system and your immune response to it. I read that last week. I'll give you the link for the document this week as we move on. What they're finding is as they do the tests and they get the positives, their mortality rate has to drop. They're not testing for COVID-19. COVID-19 was flu symptoms that got you in to do the test for whether or not what? The one thing that's the problem, whether or not you had pulmonary difficulty. There's still an analysis about whether or not it's caused by a pre-existing medical condition. In fact, the doctor that I'll give you a link to in the future, in the blogcaster, he explains that's the system. When the pulmonary specialist gets it, they've gone through two checks people have, and they get to him, and he still does an analysis of whether or not they need to go on a ventilator. Because there is no test. They've got to start looking at the symptom and actually start trying to work the underlying cause. So the UK doesn't believe that COVID is one of these high-consequence infectious diseases since back in, 10 days ago. Did you hear that? As everybody's being locked down, did you hear that COVID is a nothing burger? Can I say it that way for those of you that listen to the current vernacular? And this brings up the question of what are the experts looking at? What does our science look at? And how does it look at it? And then we look at what I've been telling you forever. Best science, the standard of best science is BS. I've been telling you that for years. It's not like I want to say that because all science is BS, but best science is a thing. It's a weapon. It's a standard to take you down that everyone uses, like best management practices. They're best to get the agenda along. They're best to get you to believe, change their behavior, move the next point, get you to give up. That's what's best for them. Always look from their perspective. That's how you have to look at the serology test for COVID-19. There is not one. They know that, but the words are very specific. There is no test. The test there is does not test DNA. It tests RNA. This is critical because if you don't understand that, you don't understand what they're doing with the next thing, which is the virus, which is the vaccine they want. He agrees there's a new test. I told you no. They're not a new test. They're all the old tests, just coming up with results quicker. So be careful. I agree with David Icke. He's actually pulling together the information I am. He's showing you that some other opinions are of the same line. So there's not just one or two of us. But he doesn't go to the core. He's using doctors referencing. I'm telling you to go to the CDC paperwork. Go to the FDA paperwork. It tells you right there. Be critical about the analysis of the terminology and do not interject your belief system into what they're telling you, and you'll be able to see exactly what the scam is. I told you last week, they can make a particularized sentence by sentence statement that are true, and the overall effect is a deception. I finally got to see that. I've been talking about it. We work it through the verbology word by word, but now I get to see it now as sentence and paragraph structuring. They can tell you the truth, and they're obligated to do so, and they do that so that they don't get caught, but overall, what they're doing is a deception. That point is, you have no remedy for that. The only remedy you have is not to buy into it. Have the alternative ready to go. Have the alternative foundation for you to speak from. There is no test. Any test is for RNA, not DNA. Any new test is not any more valid. It's just quicker. To agree there's a new test without challenge, saying that without a challenge to that test, sends the message whether he intended or anybody intends it or not, that the new test could be valid. There is no lawful, legitimate, valid test, period. None. Now, how are the oppressors in your locale justifying themselves when there is no test? Has to be asked of them if you feel fearful not to go out and have these bag of law with you. Now you got to put them in your knapsack. But the brute on the street, IQ 80 minus enforcer, won't care. That's our problem as well. I've talked all about this. So let's go read about these. I told you, undercut the authority they use. How do you do that? You find other people that are speaking this way. You at least throw it in as a question. I would have this, the next link from the NLMNIH.gov site. It's an essay. Maybe not the high-rise standard that they might be looking at. Maybe not best science, but it does make a valid point of, are they? It gives you the opportunity to say, these are the things that this essay points out that make all these studies and findings false. And you get to go and bullet point each one of his title headings as I would use this and say, have you done this? Have you checked for this bias? Have you checked for these errors? And how? And when you do that in the governmental setting, when you have a comment point or you have an objection to the imposition, they have to answer that. The failure of an answer shows that they're coming unwarranted, and now you move into the crime. Pretty simple. Why most published research findings are false. Fascinating read, long read a bit, but it goes through and explains how, and I'll read a little first part of this. I don't want to go on and on. It's again, you can read. Maybe you can't. I don't know. Actually, we can't read. We have to train ourselves to read more correctly. As I say, I learned how to read sentences or structures or bullet points from the government to see they're saying the truth, but that they amount to a deception. Means I just learned how to reread again. That way, again, I had to retrain myself. It came apparent. It's not just saying, oh, they're lying to us. It's just deconstructing the how. And it's really clever. I really have to give this evil genius credit. And it's all in a communication sphere. So those of you that are paying attention to all that understand why it's such a power to deal with. But anyway, let me, summary. This is a summary of it. And I'll just read a couple sentences here, or maybe that, we'll see. There is increasing concern that most current published research findings are false. The probability that a research claim is true may depend on study power and bias, the number of other studies on the same question, and importantly, the ratio of true to no relationships among the relationships probed in each scientific field. In this framework, a research finding is less likely to be true when the studies conducted in a field are smaller, when effect sizes are smaller, when there is a greater number and lesser pre-selection of tested relationships, where there is greater flexibility in designs, definitions, outcomes, and analytical modes. when there is greater financial and other interests than prejudice, and when more teams are involved in a scientific field in chase of statistical significance. Simulations show that for most studied designs and settings, it is more likely for a research claim to be false than true. Moreover, for many current scientific fields, claimed research findings may often be simply accurate measures of prevailing bias. In this essay, the author discusses the implication of these problems for the conduct and interpretation of research. I add, you take out every semicolon that you see in this list. You make it a bullet point as a question, did anybody make these verifications to show this wasn't the problem on the information they used? All right, you don't even need to know the subject matter. It will start to focus you on what you need to look for to validate the information. And in particular, you would bring that first and then show because they've got here, let's say the study, they say that COVID is something in the CDC. So, did they suffer from some bias in this? Here's the list. Did they suffer from something wrong that this essay points out are things of problem? Because we see, the CDC says, whoever claims COVID exists as a thing, a virus, is wrong. They're lying. And if they put power behind that, a political power, an authoritar power behind it, they're committing crime. This statement, even though it's not proven or could be different, is enough to really put a stick in people's spokes. I would include this, at least the summary with the ability to grab the rest of the story, up front in a bag of law to say, did you test this claim against these things that are problematic if you want to go through the science? And then you suggest, why would you waste your time when the CDC says COVID-19 is merely symptoms, subjective vapor that makes people believe they're being affected by a particular coronavirus, the common cold, a particular common cold virus that has no test. It's vaporware as well. How are you making the claim that COVID exists where the CDC says there's no test for that and it doesn't? It's a set of symptoms. Where's your tangible thing that you're fighting? This little thing right here, essay, I call it a story, it's an essay. Why most published research findings are false is what you add to cause the question before us to start to give yourself the power to say, no, I'm not putting up with it. Enough is enough. Let me go into now what caught my eye about how I learned better again here just this last week on this one story. Actually, I think it was just me putting it together in a way that allows me to see quicker what I already can see as I go through. And so, I'm confused on what happened to me here, because something absolutely happened when I put this together for me. When I was reading through it, it was an inconsequential story, but it wasn't the point. It was that if you don't go to the serology test page at CDC, take the words they use, identify what they're telling you, that there is no test, there is no COVID-19, there can't be a test for that because it's just subjective symptoms. Everything's subjective, nothing objective, nothing tangible. The test they do perform is an existence of RNA, not DNA, and it only can tell you that your body is responding to some kind of an infectious response, which I told you, the anomaly would be the negative, actually. Likely, we've got stuff in us all the time, all kinds of stuff. Remember, we're full of cancer, we're just, our body's beating it down. It's when you allow your body's, you don't take care of your body a bit, or it has dysfunction, and you haven't got that under control, that something gets out of whack and imbalanced, and all of a sudden you could be susceptible. And this could be a silent preconditioned existence inside your body that you don't know. Why, I think, even healthy, as I heard somebody through the grapevine of family and friends and then and acquaintances and other things, even a UFC fighter, I understand, a young UFC fighter, He's been hit really hard. Super strong kid, knocked down. Now, I wanted to inquire about his age. I forgot to do that because I think in my life it was around 30, 32, 33. I got knocked down real bad. It's like that's your test. And then you come back from it. I mean, now you're stronger than ever. But strong bodily strength, physically fit, and he gets taken down hard. It indicates to me there was an internal immune system problem, which we now can know. One of the potentials is those vaccines that degrade your system actually bring you more susceptible to subsequent infections, including the common cold. Anyway, why don't we go that far? Here's the real interesting doc, to me interesting. It identifies how each statement that they make is true, and yet the deception is they're trying to get you to believe something that really isn't anything in a way, although it is something if you buy into it. CDC says coronavirus RNA found in Princess cruise ship cabins up to 17 days after passengers left. Now, listen very carefully. Did they say COVID-19 in that title? I'm going to go through this way, I think. I'm going to do each one and show you, ask you some questions, because the first time I read that, I said, my mind said, the coronavirus causing COVID is what my mind put into there. The CDC says the coronavirus RNA found in Prince's ship. My mind put in this thing that's attacking us, the boogie virus. What did they say there? They said the RNA from coronavirus was found. Is that true? Absolutely, because the test is an RNA test of antiviruses that have affected an immune system. The important point here, which turns up later about the number of days, is that those numbers of days that it turned up in the cabins, or the what I call the Princess Petri dish, an enclosed system, was 17 days. That was the test found RNA from a coronavirus, just any one of thousands, in the rooms of the people that were asymptomatic. Okay, I'm not going to analyze the asymptomatic, but there they are. There's like 80% of them were asymptomatic. Wonder why. And yet they lived in the presence of RNA from coronavirus, not SARS-CoV-2, which they presume causes the symptoms designated as COVID-19. Let me go to the next step. I'm going to use the top 3 points here. The coronavirus RNA was found on surfaces in the Princess cruise ship up to 17 days after passengers disembarked, new research from the CDC shows. Again, it's restatement of the title. Is it true? Yes, their test can test coronavirus RNA. That's all. Did it test that anyone had this disease, the COVID? Does it test that specific to SARS-CoV-2? No. It tests the RNA from any coronavirus was found on the surfaces in the Princess cruise ship. That's true. Common cold would have been everywhere. Princess, point number two, researchers looked at the COVID-19 outbreaks on the Carnival-owned Diamond Princess ship in Japan and the Grand Princess ship in California. Is that true? I assume it's true. I believe that researchers went on the boat. What did they study? Did they study coronavirus RNA? Or in this case, are these researchers looking for symptoms? These are researchers that simply went to go look for symptoms. Could they check the boat for the symptoms? When you're checking a room, are you checking for COVID when the people are gone? No, because COVID are symptoms from people responding to what they presume, again, not tested, but presume is from this particular coronavirus. So that they wanted to go on the ship to look for symptoms of outbreaks would only be valid if they went on while people were there. And yet, so that's true. That could be true enough. I don't see a lie there. So two truths. Number three on the top. The coronavirus RNA, quote, was identified on a variety of surfaces in cabins of both symptomatic and asymptomatic infected passengers up to 17 days after the cabins were vacated. I assume 17 days is where they found it. I'll take that on its face. What did they check for? Did they check for COVID-19? The researchers went on the boat to look for COVID-19, but what did they find? They found coronavirus RNA, just what their test would find. That the test only looks for that. It doesn't look for COVID. And so there's another, I'll give them the 17 days. The time is irrelevant at this point, as far as that's not my point. If they found it, they found it. But the test didn't test for COVID, didn't it? So there they admit that the COVID is not what they found, notwithstanding they went there to go look at it. And yet they couldn't have been researching for that once the people disembarked, because the COVID is symptoms that the people have now gone. And so this story goes along, and you can read through it. They keep talking about the point. They want to tell you that this stuff sticks around for 17 days. Don't miss the fact that 80% of the people that had that affecting their room on a coronavirus existence in their room, not the particular one that causes certain symptoms, they survived asymptomatically. I want to point out here what caught me on this. It doesn't sound like much, but in each sentence they do not commingle or mash up COVID and coronavirus. They don't even mash up coronavirus with virus, because they can't. They can't even mention relative to the RNA, because that could also include bacterial RNA, which the test, you'll read, if you look deep enough, it's 48 pages, which will move down, okay, will tell you. And so, maybe it doesn't sound like much to y'all, but when you start to focus, I started to focus, I realize I'm throwing bites. No, I understand what I'm looking for, I was interjecting bias in my own reading. My mind was doing that. That when I went through, and my mind also realized, wow, they're not mashing together these specific terms that cannot be mashed together. I realized how that's when it came to me. How you read this thing, they can tell you the truth at each point, but the deception is there's something here they're promoting that you need to be worried about. In fact, when you look at the facts of this, the Princess Cruise Petri dish was really consistent with what they're finding in now as this thing goes through, as they get more information and they understand it better. As the UK said, as we understand this thing better 10 days ago, this is not something of high consequence. And yet, look at your country, folks. Look at the world shut down. And there's a wrestling match going up in Washington. Trump could end this. He could out it and end it. And I wonder why he doesn't. He's either, folks, I got two choices. He's either in on it or he's not that smart. But, man, I can't say that. Not that intelligent. Because there's no excuse for this. None. None. And so let's go to the FDA's.gov site. I wish that people would refer to this. And John Rappaport found this link, so I got it from him, and I went through and read it. And what I found were two points. I won't bore you with reading it. It's the CDC 2019 novel coronavirus, 2019 nCoV, the original name, real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel. Diagnostic panel. This is the test they talked about in the serology test. This is the swab test, not the serology test, not a blood test. That's the other thing that they're missing. They didn't do blood tests on this. This is just a swab test. Now, I mean, without going through the whole document, I won't do that. It's 48 pages. You should go through it. It's fascinating once you delineate these words and start looking at how they, it's through, the documents are almost perfect, it seems. They don't commingle ideas. And so I realize now I can apply what my new learned observations are to this. And they're, again, they can tell you the truth and be telling you a lie. They can be, they can tell you the truth and be deceptive. And what we help that by interjecting our thoughts. We think it's RNA, we think it's DNA. We think that it's a test for COVID. We don't really hold to our own apprehension that COVID is strictly symptoms. You coughed and you sneezed. and you wheezed a little bit. That's it. That's COVID-19. They've assigned coughing, wheezing, and sneezing to COVID-19. They just give it a name. It's just an analysis of response to something that they can't test. And this test says the FDA now, not the CDC, and this is important because now you got two agencies confirming what's going on. This is the RT-PCR diagnostic panel, which I talked to you last week about. Subsequent to the broadcast, John Rappaport found the link to where they talk about it on the FDA. I pick it up. I'll just mention it to you. Here's my response to somebody else called USA Citizens Press who made the statement that COVID-19 was the virus. You heard before the statement, they didn't say that COVID was the virus. You don't see on the serology test that they say COVID does that. They say these are symptoms that they presume are caused by a coronavirus of a particular designation. And I offered a correction to USA Citizen Press. If I remember right, there's supposed to be some conservative voice. Folks, you got to be careful. I don't know what they've actually done. They never got back to me. But here was what I stated, and I want to bring this to you because this is how the bullet points of what you'll find on this thing relative to the serology test. And what I told you about that Princess Cruz's parsing out those words, how they weren't mashed together, how they won't mash them together, and that we either write that they are mashed together or we interpret that they're mashed together, and it's incorrect. And this was a story based on the fact that this mashed together COVID is a virus meme idea, falsehood, bogusness is being used by your governments to take you down. I said correction to the article they wrote, COVID-19 is not a virus. No test and won't be. Particular coronavirus presumed SARS-CoV-2. Currently, no SARS-CoV-2 test. PCR swab test for RNA, but not the source. COVID-19, i.e. symptoms, based on executive orders, are bogus. Their felony extortion, coercion, and treason come to mind. Now, when you go to go to page 2, you want to take notes on this one. Go to page 2 and tell the instructions for this test, this panel, tell you that they test for the RNA. It's a short sentence. They test for the RNA. Go down to page 33 and they tell you that the presence of the RNA does not prove this SARS-CoV-2. It may include other sources such as bacteria and things. In other words, it doesn't test for a particular coronavirus. Everybody who says that it is hasn't read this instruction sheet. I'll just say it like that. If they would, and they would present this to you to prove, you could print out page 2 and page 13, and there's a lot of other stuff in between that just when you read what they're telling you there is no test for the thing that they have you in prison. Lockdown over. So the information's there for us, folks. I don't know, it's frustrating to me because I've been talking about this for a decade or more, or at least a decade on broadcast. I've been writing about it long before this. That people aren't picking this up and immediately coming out like a hive of hornets against this. I don't get it. I made a comment, I can't remember now to what. I said maybe something Grimner was doing. When experts and authorities said the common cold became a social killer and people believe that, was in response to something that came out. This was simply because you believe what the experts and authorities are saying, and they're telling you what the truth is, but no one's actually gathering that up and saying, but you're telling us, but you're deceiving us when you act against something you can't test for. And when we're in a country, and this is all over the world as well, when you're in the country, though, the United States, where you had to be vigilant, and they told you that, and you're not, the invader will win every time. And they are. And they have been. And anyway, I don't know what more to say about that. Stick to the terminology that's used by the oppressor, and then apply it directly without your input, and you have the bullet points to show what governments are doing to lock you down, like the open-air prison you're now You cannot even behave good enough that they can let you out your door, or at least they say so, and function normally, which on its own should be a necessity, which no one calls out. And you'll see that that's part of the design too, if I've told you that. They're telling you it's not a necessity. Where'd they get the right to say what's non-essential, first of all? And secondly, why aren't you saying what you're doing is necessitous in every aspect? But that's how they're sneaking in on you, not in the law, in what they can get you to buy into and what you shut up about. This is only happening because people believe with experts that don't have, they actually have BS, they have fraud that they perpetrate as real, and authorities that buy it without checking, and a population that doesn't say, wait a minute, you didn't check that at all before you came and violated my rights and property. And what you've just committed as an official that's done that, on relying on this false information, and what we can now see is a deceit wrapped in truth, you now, the official who've done this, is now committed crime. Now, to me, at that point, we're at the Second Amendment Virginia story. How many people are going to start standing up to say that's not proper? There wasn't a check and balance for that, and we're going to now institute, without the courts, without the government, the established government under the Constitution, our priority posterity rights, the antecedent rights, we're going to involve and institute checks so that this stuff doesn't happen to us in the future. I don't know why we're not even trying. I don't hear any words about that. I just hear people bemoaning what they're facing. And yet right here, I've told you in the last 2 weeks exactly how you focus attention in on what the failure is. There is no test. The test there is a generic and common effect that most everyone has. That is not a specific, demonstrable exigence enough to make any executive order under police power. I'm pausing here. I would hope people said, you know, you're right. I would hope you say, well, that sounds right, and I just don't know enough. I'm going to go research, and by middle of the week, if it proves out, I'm going to have a letter written, and I'm going to challenge whomever is putting an executive order of quarantine on me, at least challenge that. I would also say publish that, because while you're down, you don't know. They're using this to take away people, folks. This is a serious problem as well. I guess I should advance that without putting more fear on you. Just take precautions. Now, let me move over into, there is no test. We cannot tell what this is, actually. It's the flu. It's just symptoms. And so I ran across a video, Family and Friends Information Session, Empowering and Protecting Your Family During the COVID-19 Pandemic. Now, is COVID-19 pandemic true? I would have to say it's a set of symptoms pandemic. If that's what they meant, yes, it's true. It's set of symptoms pandemic. See, right off the bat, I explain now that the WHO, not the Rock Group or the OWL, which actually came through Eminence Front, talking in a different context but the same way, the false front society you live in. Thank you, Gary L. Empowering and protecting your family during the COVID-19. When you have evidence of symptoms that the WHO declared as a pandemic, which is completely off of their authority at all. Why? I told you they come up and said this was as pandemic. They characterized it as pandemic. It was not is pandemic because it wasn't the novel thing. It was common. They knew that. That's, I told you. I showed you how they had the hitch in their giddy up. And so they characterized it as, and they didn't change their assessment, actually. Doublespeak on both sides of their mouth should have told you something, because they know that COVID-19 is symptoms. It's not a virus. You can't declare a pandemic on a non-thing. And so this whole thing can be proven point by point, bullet point by bullet point, to be a treason. I don't even know what else. This is a high crime and misdemeanor, what's going on. But here's a link. I'll just describe it. It's a doctor from Dr. David Price from Weill Cornell Medical Center, who speaks from his experience as a pulmonary specialist in the hospital. I guess it's when he says it's the biggest hospital in New York. And he explains how they go through their intake and what he does. He gets people after a screening. And he'll explain to you what they've learned since. I want you to pay attention to the emotion that's in this doctor. And I want you to pay attention to that, because this is honest people taking their job seriously, taking the word of fraudulent experts, of fraudulent authority, believing it's true, feeling the pressure as it comes on them, believing this is all true, and having someone that over time realizes, well, there's a problem, but it's nowhere near as serious as they're saying, and we're not helpless against it. I want you to hear that, because you need to hear the trauma and the terror in people that mean well and intend well, that buy into fraud. And they kind of have to do it in a way because of the system they're in. And yet they come to the awareness over time, and that's emotional. That this guy can come and tell you, wait a minute now, folks, it's bad, but it's not that bad. It's only bad in certain instances. And this is what you look out for. And he says you can live with people that have this, but you have to treat them particularly. And his other thing is what I told you. All you're going to hear is what I told you earlier as well. I'm glad I'm being confirmed in that. Wash your hands. People don't want to hear this. Oh, stop telling me to wash my hands. Wash your hands. When you watch him do how many times he's washing his hands, you can't almost wash pure. He calls it, it'll sanitize your hands often, folks, when you're outside, often. He also explains why face masks are not actually, when the face masks are actually required where he's facing the problem. He explains the dynamic when you hear that they can be spread by droplets. That's not aerosol. He says there is that, but it's only in confined systems. And he puts on a mask and protection when he's going to diagnose somebody and he's going to cause them to cough, sneeze, or whatever the heck he's going to do. That's when they put on the protection. Washing their hands was number one. The whole dynamic is how much time are you spending with someone who is just pre-showing symptoms. Anyway, the point about this video, I don't want to waste too much more time. He can speak. I almost turned this video off. For 5 minutes, it was system speak. I wasn't following it. Then he starts to explain the dynamic. I think y'all need to hear the dynamic. I think it's important to place some sanity upon response. He's actually explaining as an authority, as a doctor, how you can go out in the world. That's okay. It's not like this absolute quarantine. He gives you some interesting, as you get past the first 4 or 5 minutes, whatever it was, he starts to explain the condition, the intense condition where he is and how it moves and how you can have it in your house and how you treat that in your house. What the transmission is. He also comes up with the one thing I've been looking for. Whenever I hear someone has flu, I ask this one question. He tells you what that is, too. And I'm going to move on before I get there. There's a chart you can look at to figure this out. I wanted to point out, because this came up subsequent at the... His video comes out first, and then subsequently, this Twitter secret to Beijing site came up. I wish that they would give the documentation for the links. Although this is probably in Chinese anyway. Like, maybe if I could find it, would only be an abstract. You'll get the Twitter. I wanted to go through this because this is consistent with what the doctor, in the heat of it, is saying. The infection risks via close contacts by the latest study. The highest was family members at 29.82%. The doctor explains why that is. The doctor explains how you can minimize it when it hits your house. All right? So he gives you a way to approach the problem. This is, for me, this is, I just want you to know, we're not helpless against the flu. We never have been. Certainly not against the common cold. The one thing that they're really seriously, that he tells you that they're looking out for, is the one thing I'll touch here in a moment. And I talked to just too quickly, but I'll point out there's a proof for it that you can figure out before he told you about what you have to look for. And it's, so far it's been proving out. But next thing is friends and neighbors, your neighbors. The doctor says, limit your exposure to family and neighbors. Reduce your contact right now to necessary family at this time. Use the alternative communications. Friends and family are contributing 20% to the problem. Dinner party, reception, and entertainment, 12.5%. Distant relatives, 4.73%. Taking the same vehicle, is 4.5%. Stay at same clinics, 1.94%. And this is interesting because this is what the doctor says. It's not that you go to a clinic where people are sick. It's how long you're exposed to this. That speaks to the fact and the failure of the RNA test to say how much is in your body. That's a secondary problem. First of all, they don't know that's the cause, and then they don't know how much would be the cause. And then if you visit same stores with other people that are pre-symptomatic, but within 2 days, it's 0.56%. Now, for me, I'm going to try and limit every bit of that. I don't want any percentage at all myself. The point is, there is an exposure risk condition consideration that you start putting these facts into play, and you're able to start to handle and show that this is not unknowable and it's containable, and it's not what the officials are telling you. It's not the emergency. It's why the UK went to knocking the high consequence label off of this thing. If you want another point, I have a link, a Swiss doctor on COVID-19. Remember, as you read, COVID-19 is the name given to symptoms that they call a disease. The presumptive cause, no test, we're just going to presume it's there, is the SARS-CoV-2. There's no test for SARS-CoV-2 specifically. There's no test for coronavirus. There's no test for virus. There's a test for whether or not there's been the RNA of any organism that has caused your body to respond. That's all. That, again, is not a demonstrable exigence. I got a link to a chart. I found it. I pulled it off. It's by itself. It was attached to an article. I didn't like the article. It was a bunch of system speak. But the article was I used to identify, again, what's the common denominator? What I tell you, you take all this information, synthesize it down to what is the pin? What am I looking for here? What's the definitive thing I'm looking for, at least as an initial analysis that I want to be careful of? And there's a chart. It's got symptoms of COVID, common cold, flu, and allergies. And you look at these flu, these symptoms, if you were just, someone just presented themselves with fever, dry cough, shortness of breath, headaches, aches and pains, sore throat, fatigue, diarrhea, runny nose, sneezing, I don't even know what you would even consider. But you look at the specificity of what they list on each one of those, and then you look at it as the chart that they have, and what I did is I looked and I said, what's the difference and distinction between the most consistent appearing symptoms? And you, just to let you, well, maybe I, do I let you, do I make you do this or do I do this? You can look at this chart, and we know that it looks like a flu, and so I'll just focus your, because people will look at, there's just a ton of stuff to look at here, lots of columns and things. Is it a common cold? It is a common cold from the virus, but are the symptoms of the common cold? No. Are they symptoms of an allergy? Not actually. Again, we can have shortness of breath. We can have weakness and fever if we have asthma and stuff like that, and they can be triggered by an allergy. But really, the bulk of the symptoms are like a flu. And so, just to focus you on those two columns, I want you to look down the columns between symptoms, COVID-19, and flu when you get this chart. For those of you that type it up, it's COVID-19 compared to other common conditions. It's got a red column underneath COVID-19 is the one I'm looking at. You'll get the link later. Or over there is the Sound Minds. Thank you very much over there for having these available at times. There's one distinction, one column that has absolute distinction between the two. And that's the one I said, that's what I'm looking for. I've said it, but I'm going to let you look for it, because it's really interesting for you to look at these and see the red, black, and white, go through the analysis, start critically thinking about things that you then can say, because you saw it, not because you heard it from me, oh, that's what I'm looking for. That's exactly right. The doctor talks about it. I had identified it last week when I found this chart. He confirmed it to me. There's one thing beyond the flu that you're looking for, gives you the step to think it's you better go down and you better take this one serious for COVID, okay? The one that's going to take you down, because if you're susceptible to the pulmonary problems, it could kill you. But when you listen to the Dr. Price, it's a very limited group of people. In fact, he says, they've found at his level, when he has pulmonary problems, which is one of the serious symptoms of the COVID, he sees zero pregnant women. And I don't think he mentions that any so-called children are involved either. And so, there's a way to approach this. It's dealing with the flu. It's identifying whether or not you have the one thing that makes this the serious one that you really should go check. It's what you would treat if you in flu season. How you would respond in flu season would not be the insanity you're seeing in the world, or the emptying of the shelves, the $2 trillion of nonsense that goes on that won't go to you anyway. Those of you that, I don't know, $1,200, the only thing that comes to mind about the $1,200 in the stimulus bill was an infinitesimal spot of the bit that's going to be sent to everybody else. First of all, that's likely going through unemployment or tax people. You're going to have to either sign up to pay taxes or you're going to have to be in unemployment, because those are the two trust systems that they already know the money. And what they're doing is they're going to advance a credit or the money they would have paid you anyway up front. In other words, they got you. You got to go in and become subject to that. And to my mind, as soon as I heard that come out, before it even made news, before it even made a bill that was accepted, the only thing that came to my mind was the selling your inheritance for a bowl of pottage. What the heck are we doing? Why is that even a draw? What the heck? Why can't we do for ourselves better? But anyway, I'd rather not. Just an irritation. I just hear so much of this stuff, and no one steps up to say, listen, you just wasted a whole lot of money. You're not going to actually cover what I need to do. You aren't fixing what you caused when you didn't look at this as a common cold and treat it like a bad flu year, period. And this is the answer for Trump. He goes back and says, no, this is the analysis, folks. We were wrong not to tell you this was a bad flu year. And he sets up this proof. And he goes through the stand. He starts to set up and explain, which he won't explain, how the scam came down on him, how the bogus nature of this is. And he only has like a few bullet points to tell everybody. And he puts it back on people to keep away from the flu. He would be positioned a whole lot more and give better information for people to remove the trauma and the fear that's going on and bring better certainty than what they've established in order to defeat y'all in your property and your rights and to lock you down in the prison you didn't know you were. And they get you to do it. They don't even need the wardens anymore, although they're bringing those out, aren't they? So there's one thing on this chart between flu and COVID-19. Find it, and you'll see what you're looking for yourself and your loved ones and friends. They call you. You're looking for you ask the one thing that may indicate they need to really take it serious to the hospital quick. If it's not that one symptom's there, that even the doctor says, they're going to just send you back home, and you're going to, what does he say, folks? Eat your chicken soup, folks, he says, just like I told you. Fascinating. This is not that hard. You don't have to be more than yourself in an aware condition to figure out what this is. It's the common cold or the flu in a bad flu year. Folks, deal with that and look around. Why do they have you locked up? Why did you allow yourself to be locked up? If you do get it now, folks, if you get this one element and you really have to take concern with this one, there is alternatives that the hospitals are now doing, and I'm telling you, you have the right and power to go order up what you want as well. It's what you see going on. If you listen carefully, non-essential, they're trying to tell you they can declare it, but they actually, I have a report that says you have to declare whether it's essential or not, and they say you have to prove that. Now, I have an answer for all of that, but I don't know if you do, but so that's the standard now. Now we have to explain ourselves where we didn't have to before. And you all should have an explanation, not flip out and not get flippant about what your answer is. You need to be specific. You don't want to mess with these people. They have the power right now to put you away for a while, if not permanently. You need to straight up use the exemptions they agree with, or you need to bring the totality of your necessitous activity forward. Now, those of you that are not still in the fog of fear, you listen to what that doctor says on how they're dealing with it, and you realize that you might be sent home even though it feels bad. There's things you can do. If it goes the other way and you do have this one element and it does prove out if the second check in the hospital that the pulmonary specialist says, yeah, you need to be put on a ventilator or we need to treat this. New York hospitals are treating coronavirus patients with vitamin C. Now, you got to go to the hospital unless you have IV vitamin C. Now, remember, we talked about this vitamin C problem years ago, okay? So that was telegraphing something as well. But if you get IV vitamin C in the regimen that they talk about, and the symptoms start to come right down. It deals also with the sepsis potential, and it gives your body the chance to come back. Now, there's also, I told you before, there was this hydrochloroquine and zinc or an antibacterial. An antibacterial happens to be the response of the body and stopping its overproduction of the things that cause the secondary things that kill you. The vitamin C is on board. This is now news here. You take this and you can have the copies, track this down for yourself, and you have this available. If you have to go or you have a loved one going, you can ask for the therapy. Don't leave it to them. Declare what you want. Find the studies that are out now. There's people that are just information collectors. They don't have tons and tons of information. No one compiles the information and says, okay, here's the information. This is what you're going to do with this. No one's pulling that together. Find the studies about the hydrochloroquine. Find the studies on the IV vitamin C. On the zinc. Find those and have them available for you so you make the election on what care you want. Okay? You have to take responsibility. These people are still learning about it. Better than none whatsoever, folks. Better than that, than not getting a ventilator because you're over 60. Boy, if you haven't figured that little trick out. Teen who died, you don't have to be over 60, teen who died of COVID-19 was denied treatment because he didn't have health insurance. To me, in a way, it's a shocker. What happened to Obamacare, folks? And now you see the truth of the Obamacare, even Trump scare. No insurance in the United States after Obamacare, folks? A hitch in the giddy-up that you went to a clinic instead of the hospital would have treated him. On the way to the hospital, this kid dies. Why? Because he didn't look ahead and understand that there's these symptoms you're looking for and be on it ahead of time and put himself in the right place because they aren't going to save you. They're going to interfere with you. You have to have the answer for you. You want rights? You assert them up front. I've been telling you this the entire time. This whole thing works on the fact that you don't assert anything. They work on the presumptions to your benefit when you don't state what better position you have and are in. A teen dies from COVID-19. So if you think it just kills the old folks, here's an evidence that it doesn't. We don't know what the complications that this teen was under. He certainly didn't get any care underneath a question that there was health insurance. To me, this is murder. I don't know what else to think about here. They weren't qualified in a way to even open their doors to this. Here's the problem. Why y'all went screaming to the stores and ripped the shelves down, particularly for toilet paper, because Walmart only gets their stuff from China, and everybody saw the toilet paper factory close. Couldn't figure out if you went to another store that got it from Connecticut that it would be okay, and then the rest of the dominoes started to fall. Because there was no certain statements being made to bring clarity and certainty to people. And partly they operated perfectly because they're going to protect themselves. This was the failure of information by the government to be clear on what you're looking for. In other words, that thing I want you to go find in the chart, the one thing that's different, when you get the flu, the real flu symptoms, when it's really kicking you down, what is the next, the very first thing you do? When you see that one thing, you get yourself to the hospital. Don't go to the clinic. This lack of quality information that's the government's problem on the one hand and yours and mine for also not looking very carefully at what's going on. This is an uneducated society. This is also moving into the fact that's what's being taken advantage of. You know, lots to say. What can I say? Part of me wants to just go off here, but I just can't. It's just wired, right now it's just wired into us. And watching the evidence of how easy this came, easily came onto us, really is astonishing to me. Now there's evidence of things we can do. I bring this up. I don't know if anybody in these areas wants to do any of this. It's here for us to do and call out. Right? So you're in your, you have to take on the responsibility. You have to do the identification. And I'm purposely not telling you what that one symptom is. I want you to go learn, to go get the links, read, go figure out what this thing is. Learn how to figure out what this is. This would be a lifesaver and a tool that you'll learn to start reusing when you have to go do the work and do it. Don't just listen to someone talk to you. That you can take and understand what your responsibility is so you don't become that team. Okay, so that's, I guess, what I wanted to say there. I want to go back and touch that. Because in the world, they're using this fear that while you're in that fog of fear, while the uncertainty happens, while you're hearing about people falling from your to your left and your right, you get into a panic, and you have been, or you just say, I'm not going to do any of that. And yet, when you're doing nothing in your house, they're coming to steal it under a plausible thing because no one challenges it. And one thing that's happened that came about in Texas, interesting, Texas is getting nailed. Don't mess with Texas? Yeah, that's a joke anymore. I told you this before. Texas, step up here, folks. Texas, third largest county, suspends private property rights amid COVID-19. COVID-19, folks. What did I say COVID was? You got to keep this in your mind. It's not the virus. It's not a virus. It's a set of intangible symptoms. Property rights were what? Suspended because of the common cold? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, folks? Are you that pathetic? That you let third largest county in Texas. Now, I'm going to, as we move this along, you're going to notice something. Remember I told you about the agenda, the 2030, what they didn't get done with Greta, they're going to bring this in? Very interesting who's going through this. I don't look out too much, but I've had suspicions all these big metropolitan areas are already burned. Like Seattle. Seattle's the same problem. All right? Talked a little bit about that before. Nikki Rapana was early on into that and found out, and then she moves to Alaska. Okay? So they get their way, and they continue. But third largest county suspends private property rights. Tarrant County, home of Texas's Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I hope you understand what they're doing here, but it has issued a highly unconstitutional stay-at-home order that suspends private property and allows the county to commandeer of use or use any private property. Tarrant County Judge Glenn Whitley issued the order during a press conference on Tuesday. Now, I said, I saw a judge, and I'm thinking, is this a real judge? Well, in a way, he is, but he's not a judicial judge in a judicial department. He's likely considered judicial in a county judge aspect. You have to keep track of a little bit of all this, but what about this? I'm going to move on. I got the order. You can get the link here in a second. Well, not in a second. You'll get the link. We'll talk a little bit about it. About the county judge. And you go down and read this guy. Tarrant County Judge Commissioner, I think, is what he ends up being. He's a commissioner, I think, that's actually one of the commissioners are appointed to be a judge. And that's for the judgeship of things like I would suggest, I said just before about your road law, when there's going to be an alteration or modification and you have a trial or a hearing for that and how they're going to deal with it. He would preside over a hearing like that, things of county concern. So we had the word commandeer as well. Remember, I mean, hold on to this as we, I hope I get through this. But let's read about this judge. Presides over the Tarrant County Commissioner's Court. He is a leader on transportation, sustainable communities, efficient government, air quality, higher education, support for veterans and military families, as well as youth and children's issues. Now, that list should have made you feel all creepy. Because every one of those things, except for veterans and military families, has to do with what? Sustainable development. Every one of them. Children's issues is the rights of child, international imposition. Let's go read a little bit further. The judge graduated from Grand Prairie High School, earned an accounting degree, a bean counter no less, for the university. Bean counter, folks. Get this, what they're doing here. For the University of Texas at Arlington, and served in the U.S. Naval Reserve. Now I better start saluting the guy and waving my flag, right? In 1983, he co-founded an accounting firm. An accounting firm? He's a bean counter. Remember, this whole thing's about economics, folks, when the bottom line comes down. Austerity and sustainable debt. He was elected to Tarrant County Commissioner in 1996 and Tarrant County Judge in 2006. And you have a fossil on the bench. And yet you keep him there. Judge Whitley is a past president of the National Association of Counties. You better research that one, folks. And the North Central Texas Council of Governments. Organizations that help local government develop policy, recognize regional opportunities, and make joint decisions. I'll end it there. If you don't hear the invader in that list right there, how much have I talked to you about, or when I've talked to you about Council of Governments and the problem that, and the regionalization of your counties, and to make joint decisions, our collaboration, folks. Develop policy, not enforce law. This guy is one of the peak pinnacle change agents who just wrote an executive order. We'll move on to that. And it says, whereas pursuant to Texas Government Code 108, Tarrant County Judge B. Glenn Whitley issued a declaration of local disaster due to public health emergency on March 13, 2020, due to imminent threat of widespread illness from COVID-19, /. Let's stop there. You can read the rest of this. See how we do that? Our language is so, even one, I look at this all the time, I still continue to correct myself on my own if. Given it's a fact, COVID-19 is symptoms. Is that the widespread illness cause? Due to imminent threat, also, of widespread illness from symptoms, folks, is what he says. From symptoms. He doesn't even say a coronavirus here. From symptoms. It's a threat to symptoms, folks. Is that a police power? Demonstrable exigence invoking police power? Do you agree that it is? Because when you did and you didn't say anything, he's going to get this thing through. And so, I'll just, again, we can analyze every step of this. This is the main problem when you see all of these executive orders saying the same thing. They came from the same source. And they're all pointing to symptoms as, a threat of the symptoms being a widespread illness. They make no provision for the flu here. The cause of the flu, which is a bunch of coronaviruses, as they might have mutated into flu viruses, COVID, listen folks, this is their police power authority, imminent threat. Is this a fire, folks? A fire is something tangible. I've got a tree, it's on fire. It's a big tree, I can't put it out. Is symptoms of an illness a fire of a tree that's so large I can't put it out? The answer should be no. We should see the failure of this order right in the first paragraph. There is no threat from COVID. There's a potential threat from a coronavirus, the common cold. That's the next step of failure. Now, what has he done? Go down to therefore. These are the ones, the whereases. Go down to the therefore. The county is authorized by this threat, by this boogie symptoms, these bogeymen. I don't even know what to call this thing. What do you call this thing? Well, they've given it the name, but I mean, they say it's disease, but what is it? What's the cause? Where's the fire? There's no test for the fire, folks. The county is authorized to commandeer or use any private property temporarily acquired by lease or other means. Bring out the SWAT. Sites required to temporary housing units or emergency shelters for evacuees subject to compensation requirements pursuant to 418.02C of the Texas Government Code. The important point about him relating to certain government codes is that's the color of authority he's using to do it, that he cannot base this order, has no basis for those provisions. As I explained before, COVID does not exist. It's a set of subjectives. You can't touch COVID-19. You can think you're looking at it for symptoms, but you can't touch it. You can't even test for what's causing the thing you're looking at. In other words, you don't even know who the arson is. You see the burning bush. You don't know who caused it. Okay, I won't track down that little interesting idea, but at any rate, they commandeer, folks. Let's keep moving. Executive order is another one that they did prior to that. They used the same thing, the widespread illness of COVID. They're consistent. We've got two witnesses that they essentially don't know what they're talking about. They'll use a non-existing, intangible thing to cause a threat that they can't test for, has the power to take your property. And I think I can hear the crickets from Texas from here. Business should, and then here's what he said. Based in these orders that he did before relative to the emergency and stay at home and close business, he says, this from his words, this judge, this one that's imposing sustainable development conditions, and I challenge anybody to look at what's going on and go over to Agenda 21 and show me how, let's say even Section 7 doesn't comport with what he's doing here, taking away private property. But he can compensate you. That's not the point. He has to have it before, and there has to be a hearing before. There has to be an authorization of money before. There has to be the authority before. He can't do it on symptoms. A threat of symptoms, no less, if you get that point, that one. Businesses, he says, should use common sense. There's your common sense gun laws. Common sense. This is the democracy. This is the hive. This is the Borg sense. Under what? Sustainable sense is what this ends up being. But Yvette says an interesting thing that I say confirms what I told you. You have to determine what is sense, what is essential. If you leave it open, they'll say most everything's non-essential. And I've seen promotions of that from the cops with their drones looking over you now, pointing out, oh, that over there is non-essential. That is non-essential. This is non-essential. You're in the middle of nowhere, isolating like crazy, and none of that is essential. Because they don't consider you to have any authority at all, and they've taken it all, and you agreed. But this guy says, in a press release, the county listed examples of non-essential businesses, including malls, spas, tanning salons, event centers, estheticians, but bingo halls, on and on and on and on. No, none of the places I would show up, but this is not the point. We're talking about commandeering your private property. Your businesses is your private property, folks. It goes on. Grocery stores, however, pharmacies and convenience stores and other establishments that sell household goods, very interesting word right there, will remain open. Plumbers, electricians, cleaners, and other businesses that perform needed work are exempt. But as for other businesses, and they all treat you as one of these persons, Whitley, this globalist, infiltrator, invaded your land since 1996 and you haven't tossed him out, invoked over the whole Dallas-Fort Worth area this nonsense. Whitley says, it's up to Whitley now. They should, quote, use common sense and determine if they are essential. The question is going to be, why do you believe you're essential? This is critical. He has vested in himself or his authority, delegees, which there's no authority to do either, the ability to question you, and as I told you before, you're going to have an answer in the immediate because you haven't done any more check and balance against this oppression. You're going to have how what you do is essential. You need to think in that way right now as one help. If you have a business, you explain how you feel it's essential. You then give, they will then tell you how they don't think it is, and that gives you the standing to go sue to challenge how a threat of a ghost can actually do anything. Okay? You, everything you do should be essential to you. Now, why you might, and then when you read that, listen to that doctor, you're going to have other statements. You can bring that doctor's testimony, the pulmonary specialist's testimony on his own video to bear, where you can make bullet points of his statement saying, relative to my store, this is the exposure factor. And as long as we have people doing this, we aren't part of the problem. You'd have to say that now. The question is going to be, why do you believe you're essential? This is just the opportunity they have to give you to assert your own self, your rights, your property and everything else as being essential. Now, it's going to help that you can go something like what I've tried to do, and I do with the minor, for the minor, is find the law that makes what minors do a national security interest. That makes it real simple. Okay? So you have, right now, because of the, they got you in this prison, you got to tell the warden why you're essential. Otherwise, they can put these penalties on you. If you don't assert something, which, understand this becomes also an executive administrative thing, the question of which it is still going on, creates a defense of sorts. You understand that, that I've told you before. You can bring all the tools I've been telling you to bear on this to put the buffer and limit the jeopardy and still do what you need to do. That said, really, folks, this is a bad flu season. Don't, you know, I want to, again, I'm always walking the fence on that sense. You don't want to tangle with it if you don't have to. Nobody wants to get this flu, whether it's any COVID or not. Anyway, here's the point. This county commissioner judge says, you have to say why you're essential. My thought immediately goes, well, I'm the posterity. Without me, you don't have an existence. How's that one? That sound good? Well, start there. Where did your order, based on a ghost, a threat of symptoms, have power to invalidate me? Anyway, going on. You have to think about this stuff because this is coming to the time when these globalists are taking all the infrastructure they built. Like I said, what Greta didn't get, they're going to get through this coronavirus. When actually it's a coronavirus bogus. Special species. Commentary. And this is where you see the attorney stepping up. And this is where I don't understand about the attorneys. The commentary. Government, county government is commandeering private property. This attorney even saw the word. There are unique circumstances where people or governments can commandeer private property. They put the commandeer in quotes. Well, you can't put it in quotes when the guy actually used it. It's actually what he's trying to do. He's not attempting to comport with the actually comport in its spirit or its context or its due process with the stated ability of a government to take through eminent domain. And I've told you there's a whole challenge on that that people don't even understand to do that hasn't happened. They've used a ghost, a threat of a bunch of symptoms, intangible symptoms, to commandeer, not do lawful due process in the proper acquisition of these private properties. They want to commandeer private property. Sometimes it's called the theory of public necessity. And this is where I told you work at the theory level and you show their theory does not meet what your needs and property are, and you better have a pretty substantial one. And the very first one I would start to use, you better know about your patent law. You better know about the fact of the trust breach when they did that. They can actually only take the property that they can't breach the trust if you, essentially, when you look at this in a step back view, that's being implemented through corporations and the land and the processes they're using for commerce. because all the lower, the production, the lower, the foundational uses are to be untouched. Otherwise, it becomes a sabotage on the country. And so I've just said some things. If you can cognize what I'm saying, you start building up how this thing works. You start to be able to have a pushback, begin to have a pushback, since nobody's talking about any of it. But they call it public dissent. The standard example is taught in law school. Remember, the Bar Association, legalisms that support sustainable development, have told you they're trying to get rid of due process property so they don't have to give you due process. I've talked about all this for years and years. Law school included out-of-control fire and a local fire department's destruction of a house near the fire in order to stop the fire from spreading. The similar theory of, quote, private necessity allows ordinary non-government people to use an available boat dock during an emergency, irrespective of the owner's wishes, or to break a window to get a snake bite kit in the middle of the night when that's the only solution. Supporters of this power will argue Tarrant's recent emergency declaration is the same thing. In the private situations, the non-government actor has to pay for what he takes. Public situations can go either way. But remember, it's not a necessity to base your need on a ghost, on a set of theorized symptoms. And this is their Achilles heel at every point. Now, this doctor goes through, this attorney goes through and discusses all this. Where is he? I'm asking him here. I'm through you all. Where are you to not confront this up front? And when we see that answer and see if they definitely evaded the duty and we still didn't get him, what was that answer so we can go after him again? This thing can't really stand at some point. Okay? How did you take a coronavirus, which is the common cold, and make it anything? And it wasn't even the common cold he used. He used symptoms of it. The threat of symptoms. Are we, how spineless are we, folks, as a society? Phenomenally. I don't know if it's a laugh or cry at all this, folks. It's in our hands, and we're handing it to them. It's in our hands. If you don't see through what I just talked about today, the lack of authority and experts, they're all authoritar. They all are, can be put under immediate test and will likely fail, that we do none of it. On the other hand, you can't rely on any of it. What I just say, you have to have an answer for you. You have to take responsibility that we haven't as a society or individually, the evidence of which is you're stuck in your house right now by orders that are vaporware. Is really, like I said, I don't know whether to laugh or cry about this. So let's move this on, because this common deer pops up, I'm looking for these words, newsroom executive orders allows California to commandeer hotels and motels to house corona patients. Common cold patients. When you see coronavirus, say common cold. You see COVID, say ghost symptoms. Rechange the vocabulary to see this immediately so you don't be lulled. And then I'm asking you why, when you finished identifying that's the point, that you let this damage and harm upon you and to continue where they threaten you wherever you go. Why, from the confines of your prison cell called your home, have you not sent out letters on point, bullet point? Don't go on and on and on all your rights. You point out how they are absolutely wrong to interfere with who you are and what you do. Their reason had to come first. You don't start arguing with the failure of that. You just point it out. So Newsom out in California throws commandeering out. Let's look at commandeer. I just typed it in. You're going to get a link from DuckDuckGo. I just look at the description. It's good enough for me because I know where it comes from. I know what the word means. Why? What's the point of this? And we'll get to it when I tell you, because they deny this is going on. It's exactly what's going on, but here's the words they use. Well, you knows them when you sees them. Again, you knows them with what they do. Commandeer, the example given to me by a DuckDuckGo. Wordnik, transitive verb, to seize for military or police use, confiscate. To take arbitrarily or by force. Synonym, appropriate. To force into military service. Folks, does not sound like to me, they're executing eminent domain under the Constitution. It's what I've been telling you. You live in an open-air military prison, and they just proved it to you. And they act through military authority, though they will deny it. Another attorney, I am an American constitutional lawyer. I don't think that's real possible, folks. So you're a bar member. But anyway, this guy's, I guess, good enough. My problem with him, he's covering a bunch of high-profile clients, and he doesn't really kind of get to the point, like all the attorneys do. Hey, I see our government using COVID-19 to take away our fundamental rights. Well, bravo, Mr. Attorney. It's self-evident. Now, my point, what are you doing? What are you going to do? I ask you, folks, can you now step up in your own and protect yourself from the real virus, which has turned out to be the government? The caucusocracy moved into stratocracy. Remember, the military control, which everybody denied. They all deny this. This stuff and this stay-at-home orders, even at least one attorney, even though he hedges a little bit later in the story, the city attorney says Las Vegas will not prosecute business shutdown violators because the word essential is not actually defined. They think that they're saying if we name some stores, we create the non-essentiality. They don't have the power to do that. In particular, when you have people that need you to do whatever they need. Even if that's your mental health, are they interfering with your interaction where there's actually no evidence of this threat of a coronavirus symptom? Are they interfering with your mental health? You have the right to be free from that oppression? So the prosecutor in Las Vegas early on, I think he's adjusted this just a little bit, and the new orders are coming up with specificity. What they tell you about your business is not good. But is it? No, the attorney knows this thing. Now it gets us on to a thing. I don't have the time, but I'm going to quickly state it. In an Oregon State Police American Emergency Declaration on an Oregon letter, they answer the question, is this martial law? And then they say, no, not even close. You get the link, but you go down to the bottom, and they use the term police action. Let me go over quickly. You need to see how they deny. That there's a military action going on. You just heard the word used in commandeer. And let me go to the term police action. First sentence, in military security studies and international relations, police action is a military action undertaken without formal declaration of war. Today, the term counterinsurgency is more used. They're doing a counterinsurgency in your own land, folks. Where have you been? Police action, they could have used law enforcement at the Oregon OSP, state police. They didn't, folks. Commandeer, police actions, they decide, not you. They won't, it's undesirable to beat you down. That's just international law of the occupier. Don't piss off the natives. Don't let them rile up. Don't let them know that the military's sitting right here in their face. Thank you, Grimm, for what you do at reallibertymedia.com. Sorry, folks, for the little bit of hitch and the giddy up in the front of the broadcast. Jules, thank you for working so hard to get us linked on over with the new server and Sound Minds, whatever you're doing over there, normalization of ignorance, and everybody else that's doing rebroadcasting and resending of the broadcast. I thank you very much. I'll be with you next week, tech diffs or nature willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
A can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.